Also, WBAI's airtime should not be used for promoting the commercial interests of producers or their guests. After all, this is still non-commercial, listener-supported radio. However, we will explore ways in which we may be able to support the legitimate commercial activities of our producers and listeners with ads in the folio and on the website, but certainly not on the air. Let us not forget also that each of us, staff member and listener activists alike, is an ambassador for WBAI. We are representatives of the station, of its mission, its ideals. And our conduct both on and off the air reflects an image to the world outside the station's boundaries. Let us therefore conduct ourselves with the dignity and integrity of good ambassadors. Today's as good a day as any. Sitting here with Valerie Van Isler and Bernard White, two fine professionals who have given so many years of their careers to this station, to this institution, to herald WBAI's proud and rich history and its many noteworthy achievements spanning four decades. But I'm convinced that the value and relevance of WBAI in Pacifica is not a thing of the past. Our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. The future is bright for this institution. I'm hopeful and optimistic, and I'm confident that you are too. Sisters and brothers and members of the WBAI radio community are a wonderful collection of racially and culturally diverse individuals, talented and committed folk. There's nothing quite like this community in New York. I sincerely believe that this community is now being called upon to perform a historic task for the New York metropolitan area and for the country as a whole. We all have an opportunity and indeed an obligation to build and foster multicultural solidarity and multiracial collaboration as the antidote to the increased balkanization of this city's communities. We have before us an unprecedented opportunity to build bridges of dialogue and cooperation that are designed to break down these polarizations. We all hail from communities that are rich in heritage and culture, none of which is superior to the other. But underlying these cultural differences, there are commonalities based upon similar economic interests and aspirations. Working people of all ethnicities, whether they are African American or Latino or Jewish, Asian, Italian, Irish, Polish, Greek, or Caribbean Americans, all are seeking the same fundamentals for themselves and their families. All are struggling to realize the potential that U.S. capitalism has promised them, the promise of equality of opportunity and the possibility of prosperity. All are striving for secure jobs with decent wages, for safe neighborhoods, for good schools for their children, and for affordable quality health care. I believe that on the basis of these commonalities, an independent progressive movement can construct multicultural solidarity in this city, and WBAI, as a vanguard institution of the progressive movement, has a critical role to play in this arena. Only on WBAI can New York's working people find the kinds of ideas and discussions that can inform, educate, and unite them around their common interests. Commercial media, on the other hand, serves to mystify, misinform, mislead, and obfuscate. Only on WBAI can New York's multicultural working people find a message that there can be no peace and social progress without social justice and economic equality. Together, we can strengthen WBAI as a catalyst for multiracial solidarity, as an instrument to organize and mobilize a united opposition to the forces that are blocking the realization of the American dream for countless millions. And who are these forces? They are the political and economic elites that continue to prostitute the political process, to rape the U.S. Constitution, to subvert real democracy, and rip off the wealth produced by the working people. Some have called them the permanent and invisible governments that operate in New York and Washington. These ruling elites perpetrate the structural inequalities in U.S. capitalism, and they cleverly use institutionalized racism and institutionalized sexism to keep us divided and constantly fighting each other over turf, over prerogatives, over privileges. In order to meet this historic challenge of building a united front of many cultures and ethnicities, we in the WBAI community must put our own house in order. The time has come for an end to recriminations and internecine battles. Let us put all the internal negativities behind us and replace them with positive words and constructive actions. Now is the time, sisters and brothers, for team building, for reconciliation, for healing inside the WBAI family. In the weeks ahead, I intend to take this message on the road, in meetings with listeners in all the boroughs of New York City, and in various communities in New Jersey, Long Island, Connecticut, and the surrounding areas. To those communities not yet familiar with WBAI, we will take a message of a people's radio station with a vision and a mission. A vision to fully utilize radio as a mass medium that gives voice to the voiceless and power to the powerless. And a mission to promote and advocate for a city, a country, and a world of peace and justice for all. I look forward to meeting many of our listeners at these upcoming meetings.
Well, thank you very much for that. That was Don Rojas, new station manager here at WBAI in New York. What we're going to do right now is open up the telephones. We'll go to the phones. The phone number here is area code 212-209-2900. If you'd like to talk to Mr. Rojas, you can do that by calling us at area code 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. The new station manager, I should say, was just talking about people on the air spewing negativity and how that should be dealt with. I'm not saying remove them per se, but I think something should be done about it. I mean, there are people who are on the station who have spewed negativity towards other people on the station or towards the management or whoever, and I think something should be done about that, because that's not what BAI is supposed to be about.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that.
Well, we agree 1,000%, and Don has laid that out as part of his plan. We have gone through an extremely difficult year where part of the work was to reduce the tensions and frictions almost internecine warfare that happened in 2001 and that leaked into 2002. It is, I really believe, much, much better now, but there is always room for improvement and there's always a way to go. And that's part of his agenda, and I'm sure that he will act on it.
Yes, you're on the air.
Good morning. It's Carol Taylor, the little black book author and nation's first black flight attendant, and someone who has been observing Don Rojas's writing for many years. He is certainly one of the most sturdy of the journalists from the Caribbean, and I'm so happy and impressed that he has decided to accept stewardship of WBAI, and I was extremely impressed by his phrase, sisters and brothers. It means and augurs well for the station. And I have the intention of sending him my semantics chart, which deals with the issue of racism, colorism, so that we no longer use the terms multiracial, interracial, biracial, which have no meaning in this world because there is only one race. And I certainly welcome Mr. Rojas and look forward to a really healthy stewardship and leadership, not only in this area, but also against police brutality and the other kinds of things that are counterproductive, and not only in the city, but in the nation and indeed the world. Thank you, Don Rojas.
Thank you, Carol. It's good to hear your voice. You have been a stalwart activist in the New York area for many, many years, and still fighting the good fight. Thank you.
And you're on the air.
I'll call back later, please.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I totally agree with the earlier caller, and I think that that was an excellent representation, and I truly look forward to the next 20 years with BAI. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
BAI, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two questions, one for Valerie Van Isler and one for Don Rojas. I'd like to ask the questions and have you decide whether they are fair questions or not.
Well, thank you, George. Go ahead with your question.
All right. My question is to you. My first question is to you. You said the subscription rate has gone over 20,000. Can you name the specific number of increase?
Yes, it's 20,233 subscribers, which is the highest membership base that the WBAI has had in the last 25 years.
That is fantastic. Now my question for Mr. Rojas. During your fantastic presentation, which was like a presidential campaign speech, it was great. Very all-encompassing and had breadth and depth. And you stated during it, because something specific did pop into my mind, and you said you can't afford, you know, specifics at this time because this is the general overall plan. So I accept that. My question, though, another question is, can you describe how you will go about assessing the programming that is now on the dial at WBAI?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your kind comments about my presentation.
It was great.
Thank you, sir. I certainly want to work very closely with the existing program council and with the program director. I intend to have regular meetings with the producers. And beyond that, we want also to establish mechanisms by which our listeners can give us feedback, critical feedback, constructive criticism, hopefully, and not destructive criticism.
All right.
On the quality of our programming.
Well, even destructive criticism can help, you know, give someone an idea as to, you know, what's going wrong, possibly. I have suggested this once before. Why can't the station get a phone number dedicated for listener comments?
Yes.
We have one.
Oh, really?
Yes, George, we've had one since we returned here when we established it.
Could you please tell me what it is?
I don't have it right here in the studio before me, but, you know, you call me almost every day. So
no, come on. I haven't called you in several weeks.
Okay, call me this morning and I'll get you the number.
Okay, thank
you. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, one more thing.
Uh-oh.
About internecine warfare. Yesterday was a specific example that when Mike Fader said, you know, I'm not a radio shrink like Armand DeMille. I'm no Armand DeMille, God forbid. That was a slur.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I think, you know, it could be a little tricky having free speech and, you know, also saying, enforcing a no negativity rule. I always liked BAI's openness, so I hope that will be preserved. I just wanted to thank everybody for being there, and I look forward to the future as well. And I was thinking that one thing that WBAI could take advantage of is the Postal Service's nonprofit rates, you know, for mailings. BAI is a nonprofit institution, right?
Yes, it is,
and we do take advantage of them. We've had nonprofit status, as we are one, for the last 43 years.
Yeah.
So we do have those special mailing rates.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that with the folio, or even a smaller version of the folio, to go out regularly to members would be a very good way to keep membership and inform people and help to grow the station. And I've always felt that, you know, some amount of advertising is really necessary to get the word out about BAI, and I hope that that will take place. I just want to say that two shows that I really have, want to thank you for is the Taking Aim show and also the Pacifica Peace Watch. I'd like to see more coverage of Asian issues, and I hope that will take place too. And thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
BAI. Oops, here we go. Stop it. BAI, you're on the air.
I love you all so very much. This is Judith, and I want to thank you. That was such a great talk. And I really, I was sitting there saying, I wish you were the mayor, but I don't want to give you up from BAI. I'm so happy that you're going to develop the training of broadcasting, and I've written proposals that that should be done. It would be a great source of income for the station. And it would also give us better journalism in the other media, because we have so much bad journalism when you go off BAI to the other stations. And you're going to just bring forth a new generation of progressive journalists who are not going to, we're going to do some serious consciousness raising by having them learn their trade at WBAI and get a decent set of values at least to begin with before they start prostituting themselves. So thank you.
Well, thank
Take
you.
Take care, and God bless you all.
Thank you very much, ma'am, and we appreciate your comments about the importance of training a new generation of progressive young journalists, and we certainly are going to be moving in that direction in the next several weeks.
Okay. BAI, you're on there.
Yes, good morning. My name's Leslie.
Good morning, Leslie.
Welcome. To our new general manager. I had also, though, wanted to I thought this, you know, the welcoming or introductory speech you gave was excellent. I am concerned that I heard early in the speech and then repeated the reference to, you know, a commitment to free speech with a huge qualifier that has just seems to resound in terms of what we've gone through in the past and having had our, what I thought, you know, free speech and open access severely restricted. I don't think there should be any restrictions whatsoever at a free speech station. And I also wanted to ask Mr. Rojas why he elected to join Hugh Hamilton for his first outing in terms of speaking to the public. And I remember when I listened to that show, there was, even at that time, a reference to controlling the types of questions that would be asked. Thanks.
Thank you. I cannot recall when I was on the Hugh Hamilton show of any attempt by myself or Hugh to control the questions. We simply wanted to make sure that as many people as possible who were holding online got an opportunity to express themselves freely. I am not opposed at all to full freedom of expression on the WBAI airwaves. I simply ask that that freedom be exercised with some sensitivity and some sense of responsibility. But there is no attempt, there will be no attempt to impose any kinds of censorship or gag rules on producers or on listeners at this station.
Okay. Thank you for that call. BAI, you're on the air.
Good morning, Bernard.
Good morning.
And good luck to you, Valerie, and welcome to you, Don. And please don't forget the 50% of us who don't have computers. And also, I have a concern that I'd like you to follow up on, Don, and maybe Valerie and Bernard can fill you in on the details. I have a three-part question. This is all on the same subject. I heard on WBAI in February of this year, after the station was taken back from the Utrecht lead group, that negative files were found in former general manager Bob Daughtry's desk against BAI staff and callers, which were done by former BAI staff, and that according to Dan Coughlin, the interim ED of Pacifica, about $2 million was owed to law firms, PR firms, security companies, such as decision strategies, who allegedly employ FBI, DEA, CIA, MI6, NYPD, and Interpol, along with former prosecutors for intelligence gathering and so forth. So my three-part question is, number one, whatever happened to those files? Number two, were the people mentioned in those files ever contacted to let them know that their names were in those files and to ask them if they had any suspicions of suppressive actions that they noticed in their lives that might be connected to having been in those files? And finally, number three, if they had not been contacted by BAI regarding their names being in those files, could this be done through the courts if necessary, if only to relieve the minds of those who did have some adverse effects during and since that time period? And Bernard, I heard you on the radio some time back, so I know that you know about it, but I was just wondering what has been done and what can be done on this issue.
Okay, thanks for your call. Oh, we have a lot of noise on that line. I don't know what's happening with the Decision Strategies, which was the group that was employed by Pacifica to begin to take a look at or go into the lives of those individuals who they deem to be the organizers of the opposition. And I don't know what was gathered, how much was gathered. I do know that the national office is not going to, I don't believe that they're going to pay that bill.
Well, that is, you know, we came back here January 14th, and 2 weeks later, the independent auditor said we had a $5 million debt. In fact, they had nearly bankrupted this entire institution, especially WBAI. Part of those bills were, in fact, the legal bills for some major law firms that the previous administration engaged, and part of the bill was Decision Strategies. That bill is really still outstanding. The work product has been demanded several times, not forthcoming. Special attorneys that are working for the new administration have been trying to negotiate this debt down to a much more viable and reasonable and payable level. So we've been able to get the debt down to about $1.5 million. But Decision Strategies is still one of the companies that is under review here and under examination for many things, including what was the work product that generated, you know, $300,000 worth of bills. Indeed, it was said throughout the last year, and especially upon the discovery that they were engaged, that they were looking into the lives and the work of people who had been active in the peace movement, the anti-war movement, the anti-racism movement, the civil rights movement for years and years and years. But to my knowledge, no work product has surfaced yet, and that is still very much in contention. So that is a work in progress, and one that is quite a serious one.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air. Hello? I'm sorry. You're on the air.
I'd like to ask, there's a demographic of listeners, non-listeners, that you don't appeal to, and I mean appeal in the sense that you don't really reach. They're pretty much, maybe because they're unaware of the station, and it's the same group of people whose jaws will drop when they hear, you know, Mr. George Bush has a 74% approval rating and things of that nature. I'm speaking of the people who not so much are less fortunate, but are basically financially not as financially sound as others who are able to, you know, listen to the station and get some of the information, the good information that the station has to offer, and you don't really appeal to them. And I'm saying that at some point, maybe, you know, in the future, spiritually, mentally, or financially, some of these people may be able to contribute to this, to the station, but they have to be aware of it. I'd like to know what you're going to do to reach out to that constituency.
Thank you for that question. I think it's very apropos, and it's it reflects a concern that all of us here have in terms of widening the listenership of WBAI and into communities and corners of the metropolitan New York area where WBAI has not yet penetrated. And we will be making very deliberate efforts in a concerted and comprehensive community outreach effort over the next several months to bring the good news, you might say, of WBAI to these communities that are not familiar with us or have not yet been served by our radio service.
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes.
I'd also like to ask one other thing. And you have a show that comes on Tuesday at midnight. It's the Moorish Orthodox Radio Show. I just happen to be a Moorish American, and unfortunate to say, sometimes I find some of the content rather rather insulting. I'd like to know, is there any way possible that actual, well, Moorish Orthodox members who could be present there? I'm not Orthodox Moorish. That's not for us. That's for Europeans. But I'd like to know, is there any way possible that actual members of the Moorish Science Temple of America could take place or be a part of that show? Simply because it doesn't really reflect what Moorish science is all about, and we have so many problems with people distorting what we truly are about that, you know, it's confusing enough. So I'd just like to know, will there be any efforts, not just so much with that show, but with all the programming that will reflect what the actual show's base is about? Thank you, and have a good night.
Have you, before you go, spoken to the producer? Have you contacted the producer?
Yes, I have.
And what was the response?
Well, the response was for me to send in some information for them about the Moorish Science Temple of America. But see, it's unfortunate, but there's certain information that only members are privy to that would basically boost their knowledge of what it's about. But there is other information and other people who could probably explain it, you know, a lot. Not to be insulting, but who could probably lend more credence to what the movement is about than, you know, the folks who actually do it. Now, you know, rather than having the superficial knowledge, most of these people have, you know, a deep knowledge of what's going on and what we're about.
Well, I think if you contacted the producer and presented your information, there's a good chance that you could have a forum. There could be some exchange on the air.
Well,
so why don't you do that?
All right. You have a good day, all right?
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Patricia. I'm calling from Hempstead, Long Island.
Could you turn your radio down?
Oh, okay.
Thank you. And you are listening to WBAI in New York. It's 8:28, about 37 degrees outside. And you're in the midst of a report to the listener. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a little nervous. It's
the
first time
nervous.
I called in. But welcome to everyone, and I wish you much success and prosperity in the new year. One of the programs that I listen to is On the Count. I'm a parent of a young man who was wrongly convicted, and I find the program very encouraging and informative. I'd like to know what the plans are to expand that program. Also, I find that there isn't much coverage on BAI for the Long Island area. We do have corrupt police out here. We have a corrupt criminal justice system. There's no coverage as to what's happening to our young black men out here. What are the plans, if any, to expand that program and coverage for Long Island?
Well, you know, there are various places where we just don't have the resources at the present to cover. I mean, there's Rockland County, there's New Jersey. There are a lot of things that are happening in New Jersey that we don't get the opportunity to cover. Out on the island, there are various things out there. So what we do is try and develop relationships with people in those areas with the hope that they will begin to be a conduit for information coming out of those communities making its way to the airwaves. So, you know, until we can get additional reporters in those areas or people who can work with us on getting information out, we rely on the sources that we have. As far as On the Count goes, I think it's a wonderful program.
It is encouraging and so great to hear. You know, my son has been in prison for 5 years, wrongly convicted, and to hear prisoners and Eddie Ellis himself being an ex-inmate, I can't begin to tell you what it does for me to be able to identify with someone on the air.
You know, I think that their program is one of the examples of how there needs to be more attention paid to the criminal justice system, especially as it relates to the education of prisoners, because these both Jazz and Eddie Ellis, so two individuals who had access to education programs that were in the prison that are no longer there. And as a result of that, they were able to organize and develop their whole thinking process, which is something that's not going to happen anymore under the present climate in the prisons. So hopefully out of this program On the Count, we'll be able to sensitize more and more people to what's happening inside to the prison system and move them, as well as the people inside, towards some positive action for positive change.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. BAI, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, move quickly. You're on the air. Okay, then you're on the air. Hello?
Don Rojas?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Marjorie Moore, a former producer there of a show. I met you first in Samori Marksman's office many years ago when he spoke very highly of you and said to me, he turned around and said, "That's a good guy." And from what you've said this morning, that beautiful vision you have of elevating the level of that station, I'm with you 100%. We have a community here in New York City that needs WBAI. It is a national treasure and needs to be treated like a treasure. I'm happy to have you here. I'm going to tell everybody I know about you, and we're proud of you, and we're going to be with you. And all the bickering and all that stuff, we have to move on and work together and make that vision that you laid out come alive. So I stand ready to do whatever I can. I'm happy that you're there, and you give me hope for the future. We need that station to function at a very high level. Thank you so much for all that you've done.
Thank you very much, Marjorie, and really appreciate the words of support. And I agree with you that the station, WBAI, this unique and invaluable institution in New York City, has a monumental role to play as we move forward in the new year. Thank you.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air.
Mr. Rojas, I heard you on the Hugh Hamilton show. I called up the Hugh Hamilton show and first presented the idea of gag order because I had said that Toni Short used it on her program a week before in a very ambiguous way, and I tried to straighten it out, and she hung up on me. And so that listener, Leslie, who called earlier, and you unequivocally stated that there was no institutionalized gag order at the station, so I can't understand the caller, Leslie, of a few calls ago, charging you with, flim-flamming.
Well, you know, Leslie and other callers are entitled to their opinions, sir, and, you know, now is not the time to get into a debate.
Okay, all right.
All right?
Do you recall my calling that day?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
all
I
right.
Do.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Good luck and good luck and good luck again.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Try that again. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
I just wanted to also second the motion of the sister that called from Hempstead. I'm also a Black Long Islander, and I'd like to see more programming dealing with issues on Long Island. I realize you can't cover every place, but I do feel like New Jersey does get a lot more airtime than Long Island does, and we're in the state of New York. And I remember on the morning show, I think it was during the coup, but I'm not sure, they did a segment on New Jersey, and it was great, but, you know, I'm from Long Island, and I'd like to see some stuff directed specifically at us out here. Also, I would like to see more programming dealing with women's issues, and that's all I'd like to say, and welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Actually, I think there has been more programs dealing with women's issues. There are two women's collectives that have been focusing a lot on women's issues.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Gentlemen. I live in New York, in Harlem, and I'm calling because there was an attorney on by the name of Mr. Cohen. I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. He was on a show in the morning, I believe. And he gave a breakdown in terms of rules when one becomes engaged by the police of the do's and don'ts. It would be wonderful if either him or someone else would be able to do something like that at least a few days a week. I mean, I taped it because it was really wonderful. And have a nice holiday, everyone, and a safe one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hello, Bernard.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Bernard and Mr. Rojas, Ms. Van Isler. I want to wish Ms. Van Isler the best in everything she does.
Thank you very much for that.
You brought a great, you did a great service for us. Mr. Rojas, I really think, if I may say, Marjorie Moore giving you her support scares me. Miss Moore was a very avid supporter of the coup, as was Hugh Hamilton, by the way. And I'm, you know, nothing wrong with supporting you. Hopefully she's changed. But I just would like to know your stance on the old coup people and why Hugh Hamilton still commands 4 hours of prime time, knowing his devotion to Miss Leed and to the old coup leaders. I just hope the our BAI goes in a progressive manner that Ms. Van Isler has led the way with, and Bernard and Amy and Robert Knight. I just hope we don't go back to the old days.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Well, I think that question actually was and is for Don,
yes.
But, you know, one of the things that came out of the Grenada Revolution that I will never forget is forward ever. Backward never. And I think that that's the path that we're on right now. That's what we've been trying to build for the last 11 months right here until the end of 2002, so that,
yes,
you know, some new, good, positive things could happen in 2003.
Right. And let me just say to the caller that, quite frankly, I am not very familiar with all of the players in the crises, those who took one side or another. 2 years ago, quite frankly, I'm not that interested in it. My vision is forward-looking. I want to certainly reinforce the progressive orientation of the station. You can rest assured that there will be no retreat from our progressive agenda. In fact, I fully intend, along with the rest of the staff and the listening community, to strengthen that direction.
Okay. All right. We have let me see, it's 839, 37 degrees outside.
We can take a few more calls.
We can take a few more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To all. I would like to wish Valerie all the very best.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. I'm Dawn. My request is to have the evening news repeated at 11 o'clock, as it has been in the past. However, to keep the present One Piece program, which is excellent, on as well. And if possible, find if possible on Saturday, have some kind of news coverage, because many things are in the Saturday newspapers buried that they don't want the public to be aware of. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You're right. A lot of things come out on Saturday that don't get a lot of scrutiny, because people just don't pick up the papers on Saturday. So hopefully we can. You know, a lot of this is just a question of resources. Who's going to do it? And it's just difficult to get volunteers to do that kind of work, especially with the quality that one would like. But we will see whether or not we can do that. Now, whenever you make changes, you know, if you say just take the War and Peace report and our report and just put it somewhere else, well, in doing that, you're taking away from a lot of the people. You can't just say move it somewhere else, because that means you got to dislocate other folks. You got to take off other programs. So we were hoping to do this with the least amount of dislocation in the event of a war. Then that would move to a more prime time. But right now it appears that people are listening to it. I spoke to Vern Avery Brown. She said she's been getting a lot of response from our listenership. Then she was surprised that so many people were listening to it. But it's not a bad time for our folks to hear the report. We'll take one more before we go. Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, this must be my lucky day. I've been trying to get you, Bernard, for a week. Greetings to everyone. Congratulations to you, Don Rojas.
Thank you.
It's great that you're going to be with us.
Thank you.
Vanessa, good luck to you and so forth.
Thank you.
The station is on the right track, I think, with the exceptions of a few residual germs. I'm sure you know what I mean, Hugh Hamilton and so forth. I know forward and onward, but this is going to be a problem in the future if you're not careful. Now, Bernard, I've been listening to this station in the morning, and you play some very nice music. Could you please research last Monday, 7:35, it was a male vocal group, I believe. I've been trying to contact you. You may have got my voicemail. Could you tell me what's the name of that piece, please?
Okay, I'll have to check your voicemail.
Okay. What's the number again that I can contact you later?
209.
Yes.
2835.
2835. Thank you, and good luck to everyone.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Happy Kwanzaa.
All right.
Father.
All right. Say 43, and I know, Don Rojas, you had to have, we have a lot more to say, but there were some other things that you had to share with us.
Yes, Bernard, I just, if you indulge me a few more minutes, I'd like to finish reading my statement to the WBI listening audience. Sisters and brothers, at the end of 2002, we are witnessing tens of thousands of people of all ethnicities, religions, and political affiliations cutting across the generations who are mobilizing around this country and the world against an impending war in the Middle East. Tens of thousands of youths continue to take to the streets and cities around the world in anti-corporate globalization and anti-racism protests. Thousands of Americans, alarmed at what's being done to them in the name of fighting terrorism, are beginning to organize a fight back to Washington's assaults on our civil liberties. In the months ahead, these forces will turn to WBAI and to Pacifica for information, for inspiration, for analysis, for guidance. It is therefore imperative that we prepare ourselves to more effectively serve the needs of these growing social movements. But how do we do that? Fundamentally, we must recognize the gravity of such a responsibility. Secondly, we need to modify our programming model to meet the requirements of the movements. And thirdly, we must allocate resources to training the staff in the skills and the competencies that the times demand. The superpower ideology emanating from Washington is an ideology that seeks peace and global stability through coercion, not through justice and fairness. It is an ideology of dominance, control, aggression, acquisition at the expense of others, disrespect for the sovereignty of whole peoples and nations, subjugation of other cultures, the foisting of a value system and a way of life on others who have no interest or need for it. Such an ideology is life-destroying, not life-affirming. This post-Cold War ideology of the sole superpower is exemplified in U.S. foreign policy on two fronts: the doctrine of preemptive strike and unrivaled supremacy, and the bullying of the United Nations. This preemptive doctrine is unprecedented in the annals of imperial arrogance. It is Uncle Sam's ego writ large. It not only dismisses the basic tenets of international law, but more ominously, it represents a dangerous threat to world peace in our lifetime. There is no countervailing force at the level of state power to be found, no effective checks and balances originating from the capitals of the world. The once mighty Russian bear has been defanged. The Chinese star is rising in the east, but it will be years before it reaches its optimum strength. And Europe, while grumbling about Washington acting as an overly aggressive cop, has no appetite for confronting this type of global police brutality. Besides, the European elites understand quite clearly that the doctrine of preemptive strike is not directed at them, but at those, quote, unruly people of color, the vast majority of whom were once colonized by Europe itself. The corporate media, which is becoming less diverse each day thanks to the free market policies of the FCC, has been cowed into genuflecting to this superpower ideology. Look at how it deliberately underreports and disrespects and discredits the peace movement or the actions of working people struggling for economic justice. But there is an emerging force coming from the streets, in the cities and the towns across the United States and the world, a populist force that is justifiably alarmed and wants to do something to reverse this perilous course. In domestic policy, this ideology manifests itself in the emphasis on homeland security and tax cuts for the wealthy. It is precisely this superpower arrogance that has bred so much hatred for the U.S. government around the world, and which fuels the terrorism that takes so many innocent lives in acts of mindless violence. I submit that the first step in making the homeland more secure is to make the homeland more compassionate. Giving the government the right to spy on every American and to gather data on their personal affairs is more than a blatant violation of privacy. It is the beginning of high-tech fascism in America. This ideology, sisters and brothers, is in contradiction to all of our vital interests, no matter if we are black or white or Latino or Asian, straight or gay, believers or non-believers. The epic magnitude of this struggle commands us all to rise above petty differences, to sublimate our egos and personal agendas, and instead to work in collaboration with each other and with this rising populism. To not struggle against this menace would be irresponsible. The stakes are too high. As serious progressives, we have a duty to both expose and oppose this madness in all aspects of our radio programming, from news and public affairs to arts and culture, as well as in our various community outreach activities. To dissipate our energy in sandbox fights over secondary contradictions is to render a disservice to the communities that we come from and to shortchange the growing peace and justice movement the WBI is part and parcel of. In the weeks and months ahead, with unity and resolve, let the collective voice of BAI say to the critics and the naysayers, we will henceforth struggle mightily for life, liberty, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness for all, not just for a few. And that we will steadfastly oppose the conservation of a political and economic order that benefits a small minority at the expense of a vast majority. This, dear friends, is a unique historical task of progressive institutions like WBAI. Our programming, therefore, must not only reflect our principled protest to this hegemonic agenda, but also it must articulate an alternative vision for our listeners, an uplifting, liberating, and empowering vision. In conclusion, let me reiterate that I bring one simple agenda to this job: to work with all of you in a dynamic collective that grows WBAI into the most influential and respected alternative media institution in this country. I carry no water for any political party or political orthodoxy. All I seek is your support and cooperation, and I pledge to you my best efforts. Sisters and brothers, working in harmony, I am convinced that we can achieve our lofty objectives. Let us now link our hands and our hearts and our minds, and let us march forward shoulder to shoulder towards the noble goal of using radio and new media to construct a better city, a better country, and a better world for our children, our families, our friends, and ultimately for all humanity. Long live WBAI, long live the Pacifica Network, and as we used to say, and some of us still say, from the Grenada Revolution, forward ever, backward never.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, Don Rojas. We've come to the end of this report to the listener. Hopefully you have been able to share with us throughout the report. Valerie Van Isler, I know that this is not the last we'll see of you. You'll still be around working as an assistant to Dan Coughlin.
Well, the assignment is director of administration, kitchen sink, hyphen kitchen sink, with the national staff. Like you, Bernard, I came to WBAI in 1978, and you came 2 years later in 1980. I remember the day. In fact, it was Thanksgiving, and you came to the newsroom, starting to do volunteer news reports. So we have been through the turmoil and the eruptions and the turbulence, you know, of more than two decades at the station. Like you and like others, our hearts and minds and our soul will always be a part of WBAI, and they will always be, you know, very, very, very close. So although I will be working at the national level, my special eye and special work and special blessings will always go out to WBAI and attempts to help them in every and any way that I can. With this report on December 30th, we really are passing the torch to, I think, is just an incredible individual that the station has had sense enough to make the new general manager. So I look for a great future for the station. We cannot, you know, look for anything less, because I think the ground has been prepared, the soil is rich, and it's time to grow. And the conditions are there. But as we move out of this year, the incredible patience, support, work, and help of the staff, because we not only took equipment initiatives and program initiatives, but also staffing initiatives. People came, and also new people came on board. They have helped us through this year massively. First online is you, Bernard, as the program director here, and the record-breaking membership drives that we have done in 2002. The first one, when we returned within almost a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, and the second one again, a million-dollar drive in October. People like Indra Hardut, who is in our finance office, who has, you know, just helped us enormously get back on track. We're going through the audit now for 2002. We had to reconstruct and do everything over again from 2001 because the books were such a mess at the Washington National Office level. People in public affairs, the lateral appointments that we've made, like Matthew Finch, in operations, like Max Schmid, in production, like Dred Scott Keyes. Everybody here at WBAI has really pulled the weight, has had to stand up and deliver to get us through. And miracle of miracles, we survived it. We survived it with strength. So that Don coming in here, the station is in much, much, much better shape, much better spirit, much better equipment and everything else for the station to really go on to a new level. And take that dream and run with it, because that's what we always wanted to do at WBAI.
Okay. Don, this is just going to be one of many opportunities to sit down and talk to our listeners, many of whom are just very, very bright, insightful people who have the best interests of this station at heart. I know that one of the things that I feel comfortable about is that Valerie's moving into the national office where there's just a sparsity of the institutional memory.
That's right.
And she brings with her the memory.
She'll only be a phone call away.
That's all.
Yes.
And we will continue to certainly rely on her for information and insight.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And for guidance.
Yes.
Bernard, I just want to again thank Valerie and wish her all the best for the new year and the years ahead. And to you, Bernard, and to your family and to your friends, I want to wish you peace and happiness and prosperity for the new year. And to all of our listeners, may 2003 find peace and love and justice in your hearts and in your homes and in your communities. Continue to support WBAI. We rely on you. We respect you. We love you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else left to say on that one.
Well, may peace prevail for the new year and for all time, but especially this coming year with the war on the front burner here.
Okay. And may all of you who are here now be here then. Thank you. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up in just a few moments. In fact, stay tuned throughout the broadcast day as we wind down these last few days of 2002. We will, let me see, I know there was some talk about having a fun drive in January. Well, it's not going to be a full fun drive in January. We will do something on the Martin Luther King, the day that the Martin Luther King's birthday is celebrated. We plan to have anyway a full day's drive on that, but then the fun drive will start sometime in early February. So we'll give you a rest. Hopefully we can get to you before the bills come back from what you spent for Christmas over the Christmas holidays. A lot of folks who don't celebrate Christmas are one of the ones who spend the most for the holiday. It's 8:58 right now and 37 degrees. And let me see. I don't know. I guess we'll be here on New Year's Day. You coming in on New Year's Day, Aaron?
Absolutely. I don't know yet what we're doing in New Year's Day, but we have a bang up show for you tomorrow. You know that guy, Ian Forrest, is here. Yeah, he's going to be on tomorrow. Caribbean Roundup. We're going to Venezuela tomorrow.
We'll take a look at Nigeria tomorrow, too.
Put Nigeria in there with Kenya. Yeah. No, we'll be looking all over the place.
See what's happening on the continent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's about it.
You think so? I just want to know who we're thinking this morning.
Who we thanking?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's my other favorite part. You know, okay. I only have two favorite parts of the whole morning.
I forgot all about that. Yeah. I want to thank Errol Maitland, Ian Forrest.
What did I do now?
Well, you stayed out of everything this morning. I want to thank you. Thank Anthony Sloan, Sharan Louise Harper, and anybody else who had anything to do with this morning. I want to thank you pretty much. My name is Bernard White with the co-host Amy Goodman. Until next time, stay strong and pay close attention. We